Q.
Q.
I got something here. I want to see if you know what this is.
A Q.
A Q. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, I like that.
Hello and welcome from deep inside Jolly Roger's studio. This is the Q Filmcast, the show where we bring to you our review of a particular film from the vastness of Netflix instant, as we say. This week we're queuing up the much talked about nerd found footage film, Computer Chess.
Found. I like it.
From 2013, I guess kind of like Revenge of the Nerds meets Blair Witch. Is that a good way to say it?
Absolutely.
Not bad.
Yep. Yeah. So here we are once again, guys. And if you've seen it, keep listening to see if you agree or disagree. Or if not, keep listening to see if it's something you may want to queue up yourself. So that's kind of the way the game's played, right?
Yeah. Yep.
If you're listening online worldwide or perhaps nationwide on one of our affiliate stations, thanks for tuning in. And I am Michael, along with, I'm going to spin this thing around, I am with Max.
Oh, no, he went with me.
Gumbo what? Johnson.
No. Which will later be turned
into
Gumby
Bears. I feel betrayed.
I just felt kind of freaky like that. I just want to spin it around 180 degrees
Man.
And back again.
I am totally thrown for a loop.
You weren't prepared, were you?
I'm gobstopped.
The patron saint of quality outerwear, there he is, Matthew St. Hoodie.
Hi.
Right. Yep, there it is. Our right. Snarky as always. I love that. James Hard Sub Savage.
How are you, Maestro?
Did this feel different? Felt kind of good, didn't it? Fresh? Did we freshen it up?
Fresh.
Yeah. And Adam, the greatest producer in the history of the Q Filmcast, Adam the Bomb Rogers. All right, guys, before we get into it, if you want to keep up with us, easy to do. Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, you can certainly find us there. Or I even recommend going to our site, theqfilmcast.what, Savage?
Net.
.net. Absolutely, right? We all in agreement?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. That is, because .com won't get you there.
It won't get you there. Hallelujah and amen. Theqfilmcast.net. All sorts of fun stuff there. We love feedback. Let us know what you think. Okay, that's it. Let's get into it, man. This is it. This week, Computer Chess has queued up by Max. Hold the guacamole.
Gumby Johnson. Bears.
It's Gumbo.
Gumby Bears.
Actually, no, it's going to be Gumbo Johnson. We have a bit of a Q poll up on our website, too. So one reason to go there is to vote on Max's nickname. We've narrowed it down to five.
Right.
I'm still holding out for Hold the Guacamole, that's but it is Max Gumbo, Gumbo Johnson. Yeah. So this is your cue up, man.
Mm-hmm.
Computer Chess 2013, and this is currently available on Netflix Instant Streaming. So if that's your thing, then let's just see if this film is your thing, right?
Yeah.
Talk about it.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
If you've watched it between last week and this week.
Yeah.
See if you agree.
Yeah, yeah. This
with
is good.
Anyone that might know anything about it.
No, we're gonna crack the nut on this thing. We're gonna figure this out. We'll get into it here in a minute. You can tell us why you decided to cue this film up.
I'll tell you right now.
Go ahead. Blow my mind.
Saw it. I saw the trailer 1,000 times. I said, "Wow, that looks funny. That right. looks pretty interesting."
Yep.
Went to see it. And I walked out. I barely had any hair on my head. I was scratching myself.
Out by the root, huh?
Yeah. So I was like, okay, I've got to get some other people to watch this movie to tell me what it's about. I am completely baffled. I really don't have much clue about what it's about.
I'm wondering if the hoodster, Matt St. Hoodie, can shed some light on this. We'll get into that.
If it stumped him, it's a lost cause.
Yeah, I got like three theories.
All about death.
I'll buy every one of them, man. No, but this should be interesting. This is like a nerd spectacular. This is our nerd fest. Right. This particular film was written and directed by, I'm going to assume he's a nerd, Andrew Bujalski. Starring, not that it matters, nerds, Patrick Reiser? Reister?
Starring nobody. The guy that played Michael Papa George was the only guy that
I've
ever
the worst actor
seen
in there.
Anywhere.
Right.
What about the guy that played, was it Patrick? No.
Peter.
Yeah, that's the guy. Okay. So this film is what we have in queue for you tonight, and we're going to dissect this thing. It always inspires something.
Yeah.
Well, why don't you explain what it inspired tonight, Max? Always inspires a top three.
Top three nerds in movies, not in Revenge of the Nerds.
I love that.
Yeah.
You know, I put this out on Twitter, and the Twitter faithful went crazy. Yeah, there he is.
Not
Revenge of the Nerds.
Why don't we do a top three nerds not in the Q Filmcast? There wouldn't be any.
There's no show.
No show.
All right, let's get into this here real quick before we get into the film and talk about what it is we saw or what we think we saw.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about Andrew Bujalski. Bujalski.
Yeah.
You know that he's a nerd from Boston who moved to Austin, Texas, known for the films Mutual Appreciation and Funny Haha. Anybody seen these?
I saw Funny Haha.
Did you really?
Three quarters of the way through and turned it off because it was not funny.
I don't like the way this. I don't like the way. You know, Computer Chess doesn't have a whole lot going for it coming in right now.
No, it doesn't.
Funny Haha. Actually, some people like that film, but you didn't.
Yeah. I actually bought it not having seen it because I heard really good things. And. It was tedious. It was so tedious to get through.
Okay, we'll see what this one's all about, huh? Mm-hmm. His work is noted for its lack of formal pretense and its endearingly realistic take on well-educated yet socially inept young white people. Mm. Where can I find four of those guys right now?
Four.
Four. Oh, five?
Look, he's not counting himself there.
Yeah. No, I left Adam out of it.
No, he wasn't counting me.
I left Adam out of it. His witty, unassuming films are often compared to the work of John Cassavetes. Held up as true examples of independent cinema. I don't know. He teaches undergraduate production courses at Boston University.
I can see that.
The actors, I can't find anything about these nerdy actors. really, there's nothing
there's nothing about them.
That's astonishing. Maybe they were robots.
I read most of them were actual programmers.
Yeah.
Is that what you...
The director actually got real programmers because they would deliver the jargon like they actually knew what they were talking about.
Wow.
So there's a little fun fact.
We'll find out if that worked. I thought maybe there was some kind of acting legs here on these people, but really it was none. It was just first time.
They were being themselves.
They were literally themselves.
I need some nerdy white people. Where can I find some? Okay, there we got them.
MIT.
Yeah. All right, ratings. This was actually pretty critically, I wouldn't say critically acclaimed, but a lot of people liked it, and a lot of people put it on their top 10 list of last year. So ratings, IMDb 6.4. Rotten Tomatoes, you have your critics at 86%.
What?
Yeah. Somebody got it.
And your users at 60%. All right, let's talk about the premise of this film. You ready, producer? What do you say?
Yeah, let's make it snappy.
Yeah, go for it.
You going?
Go ahead.
I feel like we all need to support each other through this one.
Yeah.
We all need to kind of hold each other up, lift each other up.
Oh.
Okay. So we're all like brawls.
Yeah. I was going to say Rebirth.
Yeah,
Rebirth.
That's what I was thinking.
Someone go get me a warm loaf of bread, quickly. Here's what you have. Director Andrew Bujalski transports viewers back to year 1980 with this comedy. Comedy, sure. Set at a provincial hotel that's simultaneously hosting a chess programmers competition and a new age therapy convention for couples. Worlds colliding. Shot on a vintage Sony video camera, Computer Chess explores the awkward chemistry that comes into play as these two desperate groups struggle to find a common ground, perhaps laying the groundwork for artificial intelligence and its impending role in the future.
Terminator.
Yeah?
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, you saw SciTech. You thought this was the beginning.
Skynet.
What did I call it?
SciTech.
Oh, sorry.
SciTech.
Not Skynet.
Skynet.
Some nerd you are.
Dun, dun, dun. All right, so let's get into a trailer, guys. Let's listen to a piece of what is this?
Skynet.
Computer Chess.
Computer Chess 2013. Clap your hands.
1980.
Yeah. Clap your hands, everybody. Everybody, clap your hands.
Would you like to play a game?
I would. I'd like to play a trailer, actually. And let's do that right here. Here's Computer Chess 2013.
Two sides, different colors. One of them's got to win. One of them's got to lose.
I greet you for our annual North American Computer Chess Tournament. I present you with the best and the brightest.
We're just watching them get ready for the end of the world here. World War III.
Okay, so the computers play chess versus other computers. Wow.
And we have something new this year. We have a lady who is competing way in the back corner. There she is.
If all computers can do is calculate, then what is artificial intelligence?
Computers are getting smaller, they're getting better, they're getting faster. It's a matter of time before we beat people with these things.
I'd be willing to bet that you and I are the only ones here who even understand that programming has a feminine side. I would love to stay in your room if you have an extra bed.
It's a couples group. I don't know if you've ever done any encounter stuff or anything like that.
Look deep within me to find what is inside you.
Don't you think it's strange that we're all here at the same time? Have you been with a lot of women, Peter?
Can you try something else? Can you try do your own move on your own?
Seems to be a little glitch here.
War is death. Hell is pain. Chess is victory.
You want to know the real future of computers?
Tell me.
Dating.
What, you mean computers are going to start dating each other?
All right, here we go. There it is. The very odd 2013 film, Computer Chess, or I guess you could also call it The History of Early Nerd Pioneering. Right? I came up with all kinds of little phrases.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like The History of Early Nerd Pioneers.
It's certain genre of early nerd.
Nerds had been around a long time before 1980.
Come on. I don't think they have.
They have. Of course they have. This was just different.
No. Nerds turned
a page.
What
did they do without computers?
Nerds turned a page when the analog age came in.
They would build transistor radios. Duh.
Yeah. And right. How. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's get into a little bit of did you know. I'm going to go over to Max Gumbo Johnson. Max, did you know that this was nominated? That was nerdy.
It was nominated.
This was nominated for several awards, including the Independent Spirit Award, the John Cassavetes Award. I wonder what that is.
That's an award named after John Cassavetes.
Whatever. It did win two awards, though. It won the Special Citation Award at the San Francisco Film Critics Circle and was nominated for the Novaes Experimental Awards.
Special Citation? Is that like honorable mention award?
It's like, here's your prize, go home, please. I have no idea.
It's your participation award.
Yeah, it's kind of like,
well, you're the only one that entered the award.
Right. You know what? Hey, we know this, and we've said this before. We don't use stars here. We don't use thumbs up. No. We will give a film the finger, but we don't use thumbs up or thumbs down. We don't do stars. We let the film tell us what we're going to judge it with, and that's what we call our currency. Max Gumbo Johnson is going to reveal... I don't even know if he knows what
I'm trying to remember what it was. I think I remember.
What are we going to use,
Max? Was it 1 through 10 booked rooms? I like booked rooms.
I think booked rooms is good.
All right. Makes sense to me.
It's very definitive to this film. Or at least George Papa John would think so, right?
Papa John.
Michael Papa George.
Oh, I'm thinking about pizza.
MichaelPapaGeorge.
Look again.
I can just sleep in between your beds. All I need is a blanket and a floor. Let's get into this. And what we typically do, and I think we'll do this right here as always, we're going to go to the guy who killed it, queued up the film, Max Gumbo Johnson. How many booked rooms would you give this film? Computer Chess from 2013.
I honestly don't know. I do not know how to rate this thing. I don't understand it.
It doesn't matter. How did it make you feel inside?
How did it make me feel? It made me feel confused.
I don't understand you, but I like you.
It made me feel confused and stupid and inadequate and befuddled.
Like your ex, right?
It gave me a headache. I'm going to give it a 4.
A 4.
4 booked rooms.
4 booked rooms. Okay.
That's the most I can go.
Okay. You know, I think that's the lowest anybody's ever given their own film. I'm going to go over to the patron saint of quality outerwear. He's sitting right next to you. How many booked rooms are you going to shoot over to Computer Chess?
If he says
10,
I'm going to smack you in the mouth.
Computer Chess 2013. What are you going to go
with? I completely agree with everything that Max says, but I'm still completely intrigued by this movie. I feel like the director's making parallels between the hippies and the computer programs and the rebirth and the birth of technology, and I feel like the answer is on the tip of my tongue, and it's driving me nuts. I watched this 3 times, and I got nothing. I got to give it a 7.
Ooh.
There you go. Patrons say to quality outerwear, giving it a 7 booked rooms. Savage, blow my mind, man. What you going to go with?
I'm closer to Max here. This is a ponderous trek right here. And I'm not a fan of these type of movies, so I'm going to go with 4.
You're going to go with 4?
Yeah.
Slightly below the middle, right?
Yeah, yeah. And we'll get to why. I mean,
it gave you something to stare at, but nothing to chew on. Is that what you're saying?
A little bit.
You know what I mean by that.
Yeah, I do.
I want to go last, so I'm going to go over to the producer. The greatest producer in the history of the Q Filmcast, that's Adam the Bomb Rogers. Booked
say
rooms.
It,
what are you going with?
Say it.
Do it.
I was so bored.
I was so confused.
Uh-oh.
I was so confused. I want an hour and a half back after watching this movie.
You owe him an hour and a half, man.
Sorry, I can't help it.
But I'm going to say I was definitely... I was waiting for something to happen, so I kept watching it and was constantly intrigued by it. But I'm going with y'all two. I'm actually going to 4 because I can't say it was bad, but I just don't get it.
Yeah.
Okay. It's up to me, isn't it? You're asking me to talk about a bunch of socially inept, sexually repressed, frustrated man-boy nerds who are afraid of women.
We do that every day.
No, wait. He's going somewhere with this. I can feel it.
But enough about you guys. I want to talk about the film. I tried.
Yeah.
Okay, so you know what's interesting? It seems like lately I've really enjoyed the films we've been queuing up. Like, I've had a good run of 8s, you know, 7s.
Yeah.
Been enjoying the films lately. I thought this would be the one to kind of drag me back down. I don't think so.
Uh-oh.
Not so.
Whoa, didn't see that coming.
Here we go.
This film really caught me off guard. I'm fully prepared to champion this movie.
Uh-oh.
I am fully prepared. It was like being thrust down an analog nerd wormhole to another dimension.
Kicking and screaming.
Left me with a completely new sensation that was all its own. That's it. I'm going to need some help, though. You guys got to tell me why I felt that way. If maybe I'm crazy.
Yeah.
I watched this thing. I turned right around and said, I want to see that again
right now. I actually watched this thing double down back to back. I'm going with an 8. I'm going to give this thing 8. I'm
going to give this thing
8 booked rooms. There's something. There's a buzz and a hum about this thing.
8 booked rooms.
8 booked rooms. Does that surprise you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it does. I was wanting to go higher because I wanted to like this movie. I wanted to like it. But it was just...
It's ponderous, man.
I may watch it again. I may watch it because it's like you said, there's something there. There's something there. It's just somebody's got to figure out what the hell it is.
I was entranced by the whole thing. It's crazy.
It's crazy.
I have some really interesting analogies. Maybe you guys can tell me if I'm talking outside of my mouth on. But it's a weird film, man.
No.
It's weird. It's like sucking on one of those atomic warhead candies he has in the bowl over there. You just pucker up, but you kind of want another one.
And eventually your tongue rots off.
Yeah. Actually, it did happen when I ate so many of those things. Okay, so I'll tell you what, we're going to get back into this thing. We're going to talk about why we landed on these scores. Right now, no real need to introduce a clip because we probably wouldn't understand it anyway. It sure is fun to listen to. Actually, this is a piece from the 2013 film Computer Chess. Let's give it a go. Here we are.
I am Pat Henderson. I am very excited. We have players from all over America, Canada, Quebec, just great. And we have something new this year. We have a lady who is competing way in the back corners. I'm happy about that too. She's welcome. So, the way this tournament works is this. We play Swiss system. That's 5 rounds. That means everybody keeps playing. If you lose, you play to the end. However, there is one big winner. And that winner gets a $7,500 prize. And the other thing you get to do, you get to play me. Stick around for the last day, because I challenge that winning chess program.
This will be a grueling couple of days, so let's keep it light, let's keep it collegial, be respectful, and of course have fun. Let's begin round one.
All right, guys, there you are. There's a piece from 2013, Computer Chess.
Computer Chess.
As queued up by Max to the Max Johnson, written and directed by Andrew Bujalski. I'm going to kick a few different things around.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Gumbo.
Champion.
No problem.
All right, so let's get into it. Let's talk about why we rated this, what we did. We have some different scores going around. I'm on the high end of the totem pole on this
one. You are.
Didn't see that coming.
Yeah, I have a hoodie nipping at my heels, though. I was going to say let's go with the lowest score, but I think what we should do is just go straight over to Max Gumbo Johnson. You queued this up. You gave it a 4. Talk to me, man. Why did you land there?
The same thing I said before. It's like Matt said, there's something here. It's somewhere in it, but it's too hidden, I think. He didn't give me enough to really want to really get into it and see what was going on in this thing. It was so slipshod. It was like it went from this to this to this to this, and nothing ever really developed as far as these ideas for me. I couldn't concentrate on these guys with their computers long enough, and then it slips over to the couples therapy, which I was like, okay, this is strange.
Yeah, right.
And then it slips over to the girl and the guy doing the little experiment and that little awkward thing, and then it slips over to the proposed three-way, and then it goes to Papa George, who can't find a room. And he's going from room to room and lands in room 420. Gee, what a joke.
Go figure.
Ha ha ha.
And cats running around everywhere.
And then the whole drug thing, and then going to the mom's house. I did not understand what was going on in this. I mean, I understood it as a, you know, okay, they're at this place, they're doing a computer chess thing, I understand the competition, I understand this, but I didn't know what any of it meant.
Isn't that part of what this film's idea setting out was supposed to be? Kind of like, we've had films like this.
I don't think so.
Yeah, but
we've had Upstream Color, we've had Holy Motors. It's supposed to be an enigma wrapped in a riddle, right?
It had me trapped in a glass cage of emotion.
I'm in a glass case of emotion.
I just, you know, at least with Upstream Color, there was a story there. There was something you could figure out. With Holy Motors, there was something there. You had something to process.
Yeah, and film craft.
Yeah, and there was something going on that you could you could wrap your head around to some extent and at least come up with something.
Right.
This one, I've got like 7-10 ideas in my head. Well, it might be about this, it might be about, but I can't pick one.
Yeah,
I can't make it up.
We'll get into that. I think we all need to kick around some ideas. Maybe we can come up with something and go, aha, kind of like Savage did on Holy Motors. Like, ooh, there's a premise, there's a thread. I'm going to grab onto that. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. You say film craft. Did you see any, you say lack of film craft, Savage.
Yeah.
I saw it there though, but did you see film craft in play here?
Yeah, I mean, I get what he was doing using the old cameras to make
opaque projectors.
To make it look like, I mean, was it a mockumentary? Was it a found footage? Was it a, you know, was it a comedy? Because there were a couple of funny parts.
Yeah, it's billed as a comedy.
But the trailer was real funny. The trailer was hysterical. I was like, ooh, that looks great. I want to see that. I can't tell what kind of movie this is. What is it supposed to be?
Right.
I don't know. You want to leave it there? You want to leave it there?
Let somebody else talk.
We'll get into everybody else's rendition of what they saw. Sorry. All right. Let me jump in here, get mine out of the way. That way it's low, high.
You want to champion it?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to champion.
You're
going to
be
just
a chess grandmaster.
Okay. That's right. Well, listen. You got to understand. I work in this world. Okay. So for me, maybe it's special in that regard, right? Oh, I know him. No, but like I said before, you know, the film left me with a completely odd sensation. You know, it was kind of like sticking your tongue on a battery. You know what I'm talking about? Like a 9-volt battery.
Yeah.
That's the way it felt to me. It was bitter, but it didn't turn me off. I kind of wanted to do it again. It was like...
how did you come up with that?
I don't know. I just sat back, but that's the way it was to me. It was like this weird off-center experiment in lo-fi filmmaking that is huge in its tone. I mean, its tone was huge. It's like, okay, the scope on this thing is wide. I don't know where they want to take me. But I love the way they pulled off the look of this. You know what I mean? It was like very obvious, but it kept this freaky little pace kind of to it. It just kind of had a nice pace. I liked all the technical things that were very much in there to bring you back to that analog state of mind. The opaque projector, the command line that kept popping up in DOS.
Yeah.
I mean, you could say, well, that's just a little thing they put in there to make it, you know, wink, wink. But I thought it just worked. It kind of really did bring me into that. And I'm like, okay, this is a bizarre film. You know, let's go for the ride. I'm not sure where they found these actors, though.
Yeah.
Like we talked about that earlier. I thought they did a good job. I was actually impressed with a lot of the performances here for what they wanted them to do. I mean, come on, Peter?
Yeah. No, he was good.
Either
he was a nerd.
He was a nerd, but the energy that I felt from the performances is like everybody was really invested into what this project was. I picked up on that. I didn't have
probably the most exciting thing they've ever done in their lives.
Yeah, it's probably
we're going to be in a movie. Well, you say that, but this is a pretty exciting thing to happen in 1980.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's exactly right. Yeah,
I mean, when the Mars landing happened, I was glued to the screen.
Yeah, right.
So it's on par with that in 1980. A computer, you know, that can beat a man at chess. You're crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
So same difference.
Yeah. I mean, the energy of it and the idea and the kind of like the idea and the scope of the originality of what these guys might be going through at that time was real to me. It's like, man, this would be exciting if I was a nerd in 1980, right? So from a technical angle and all the players, I thought it was kind of strong. I thought it was a strong film, and he kept true to that idea. He wasn't apologetic about it. I liked the lo-fi analog thing. And then there's the story, or lack of story, or narrative, or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, right.
But that was entrancing to me because you just sort of stare at this thing the whole time like, what the heck? All right. At first, I thought it was going to be like a real Christopher Guest kind of thing.
Right.
Or it was going to be a comedy. Let's just make fun of these characters. But it just got a little weirder, a little deeper. I felt like I was going down that hole in Dagobah system, you know, like down this icky kind of little place, you know. And also something else I liked about it, too, is I talked about a hum in the movie. There was like this.
That was the camera.
It was. But you know what, though? The sound in it and the music in it was so weird and that it just kind of rounded it off, you know? It was just that bits of feedback. But it doesn't just stick to the one-trick pony thing. It pulls you into a humorous, eerie sort of storyline, takes off completely down an unforeseen path, one that seemed at the same time intelligent to me.
Yeah.
And it was thought-provoking. I can't say for sure what actually appealed to me 100%, but I know I want to turn right back around to see it again. To me, that's a film that works. If anything, just a weird, funny, visceral film. I don't know. You know, I have a lot to talk about on this film, but it's like trying to explain to someone what a banana tastes like when they've never tasted a banana. How do you explain that, you know?
Just tastes
when,
like a banana now and later.
All right. Well, okay, well, let's go on to the next one. I'm going to give this an 8, and we'll see if I stay there or not. But just when you think you've seen it all, along comes a lambda 4 foot tall, and that is Adam.
Oh, my God.
Adam the Bomb Rogers. You gave this a 4. Get in there.
What
Why?
For?
Why? What for?
I don't know.
Let's move on to the next one.
Okay. Because I do know why I gave it a 4.
No, go ahead, Adam. What do you got for this, man?
No, that's it. I really do not know what to say about this movie.
What was it that turned you off from, let's say, an 8 or kept you from going 1? I mean, anything you liked? Anything that you really didn't like?
Explosions, boobies.
Yeah. No, there were boobies.
Yeah.
I guess so. You're right. Totally.
There was.
Yes. I was so wrapped up in everything else, I missed it.
I have way too many questions to figure out what in the world I'll...
And how is that a bad thing? How is that a bad thing?
I don't know.
It's good to have questions.
I want to know what the cats... What's to do with the cats?
Okay, I have no answer for the cats.
Well, no, but basically the same reason you gave it a 4 is why I gave it a 7, because I'm so intrigued. I'm asking the same questions, being like, I have to know
what's up with the cats? What's up with
the growing leg? Did you see the guy sitting in the stool while his legs were growing out in front of him?
Oh, yes, yes, I did. I thought it was something weird with the camera, but
yeah.
Now that you said that,
ooh. Oh, there's a few things I watched twice with a microscope. I'm like, I'm gonna see if these guys notice this.
I missed that.
Yeah, I missed it too.
Well, you mentioned something earlier about it, the ultrasound,
the ultrasound
screen. Yeah, you said you went back and saw something. I saw something completely different.
So one of the big turns in this movie is the there's an intern, I guess, an assistant that says he uses this for psychological purposes because that's his field.
Yeah,
and he's looking at the computer typing in pretty, I mean, big time though cliche questions like who are you? What is a soul?
Stuff,
So he's typing this in. The computer's answering him as best it can. A lot of question marks, and then it all of a sudden pops up an ultrasound. And the first time I watched it, I was like, well, that was weird. What does that mean? Second time I watched it, I paused it on the ultrasound. And, I mean, obviously, an ultrasound's going to show a baby, but you look like you did this too, actually, just by looking at me. So I paused it on the ultrasound, and it wasn't a baby. It was either a cat or a demon. I don't know. It wasn't a baby.
It wasn't a baby. I stopped this film.
Cat
this is,
demon.
This is an hour and a half long film. It took me 3 hours to watch because I paused it so many times.
I know why the cats were around. They were just trying to look for a mouse for a computer.
Oh, my God. There weren't any.
Wow.
Wait a second. Did he say that they had just heard that there were some mice in this hotel?
Right? I think it's mouses.
Mice.
That's awesome. You know, I think he might be trying to say something that, though. Is that some kind of a storyline of here's where the future's taking us? Technology is going to take over our lives
and turn us all into cat?
Maybe.
and then it seemed like Papa George was allergic to cats.
Yeah. Right.
So what does that mean now?
Yeah, he sneezed. And by the way, we're talking about the 2013 film Computer Chess, by the way. Let's get into some more of these things. I think we might have some things to talk about.
I do want to say one thing I really enjoyed about this movie. There was a scene where the nerd girl shows up at the door of the
chess
main
dream.
Nerd. Yeah.
Yeah.
No. And she's talking about everyone moving in chess pieces.
My bad. Yep. The chess dream.
I thought that was really great. I love that scene.
It was neat. Yeah, it was neat.
And I thought that was the best part of the whole movie.
Well, the film,
the rest of it, I can't get it.
Okay, so with that scene, if you get into anything super hardcore, because I've gotten into, like, photography hardcore, and when you get into something and you study it to the point of exhaustion, you start, it changes really how you see the world. So you start seeing the world as it's framed by your camera. If you're painting something, you see the world as the colors that are on your palette. Mm-hmm. So, that she had a dream that everybody's moving in, you know, as chess pieces. It's not that surprising. I love chess, by the way. I don't know. Obviously, nobody knows that.
But I do.
I love chess. So this movie was kind of fun in that regard. Yeah. You absolutely pick up on all these little nuances of your life if you're just that invested in it.
Yeah, and I like that too. The nice planet where she basically said that to him. You know, I've seen this. The world's moving like a chessboard.
And after that, he very seriously says, you know, when she was like, "I was expecting a knight to teleport." He's like, "Did you see two people come together and only one leave?"
Right.
Which harks back to what the hippies, I call them the hippies, were saying, where they were chanting, "One want to be two want to be one," which was echoed through the whole movie.
Yeah, there's so much weird stuff in this film. This is not a one-off film, maybe not a two-off film. The more you watch it, it might come together. Savage, man, you gave this a 4 as well.
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, I'm not a fan of these kind of movies. It's the faux documentary. If you're going to commit to that, do it. Don't establish that this is being filmed or is a found footage, and then immediately, two shots later, show that it's not that. Mm-hmm. That then it becomes gimmicky. So there's obviously not a second cameraman. There's obviously not a cameraman in the rooms alone with these people. So it fails. I mean, the gimmick fails immediately with that, okay?
Unless it was never a gimmick at all.
No, but it was established to be that. It was, you know, we're recording it on this camera and this footage.
I don't think it was established like that.
I think that was the
first shot. I mean, I know what you're saying, but I don't think that it established itself that, because you said in the next shot it showed that it wasn't
that. But they made it a point to point out the cameraman throughout the film. Like, this is, he's in the room and he's shooting.
Yeah, I know where you're going.
So, you know, that's just one of my biases, things like that. It's like, it failed in that regard. It drew me out of the film. If this is a found discovery, it's found in that it seemed like they were discovering the script day by day. It's like they were just meandering through. It almost felt like these people were just talking to each other. It's like, okay, talk about programming. Go.
Well, again, a lot of these were not actors.
No,
they were programmers.
Well,
so I wouldn't be surprised if he was like, you know what, just talk some jargon, yeah. Just have a little bit of
media.
Well,
it shows an absence of script, an absence of story.
I think that was the plan. Let's get everybody together and let's riff this thing out. Let's just see where the day takes us. We have one thread, one idea we're going to go with.
And I'm cool with that.
And let's build every day around that.
I mean, Christopher Guest does that brilliantly.
Right, exactly.
So it can be done well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Blair Witch Project did that.
Well, it's a little different.
It worked.
Well, it's a little different. I mean, they established that they had all these batteries and cameras and whatever. I think I'm with Max in this, and I think what Max is saying is like, you feel like there's supposed to be subtext here.
Yeah.
But where is it? Where is that subtext? Where's the through line for that subtext? Because when they started going to the couples retreat, I felt like I knew they were going. The opposites, the white and black, the yin and the yang, the man and the woman. That's where they're going to bring it together.
Mm-hmm, right.
That's where it's all going to come together. But then it just meanders about.
I don't know about that.
It doesn't, though.
It doesn't meander about. You know, I want to talk about a lot of the weirdness.
It does.
Well, I mean, sorry to jump in, but you can look at the very last scene, which is the most chaotic, obviously, scene of the whole movie. Take what happened in the last scene, and you see exactly what you're talking about, which is a marriage of humanity and technology, which is where this movie projects us to be headed.
I mean, obvious. That's extremely obvious. You have an embryo inside a computer. I don't know how much more obvious the theme that he was trying to get across was.
No, and if there is anything scripted, if there is a story to it, those scenes with the MIT team, that guy in particular is like, I'd like to resign. Well, you haven't even made your first move. I mean, I thought that was kind of funny.
See, I thought that whole thing was great, too. That play between these guys with their computers playing chess. I thought all that was really interesting to me and really fun to watch.
These guys weren't playing chess. I mean, he even said that none of them cared about chess.
I care about chess.
No, I mean, and then he even said that when the two swingers were asking him, he's like, so you want to be a chess? He goes, I don't want to play chess. I want to write a program. I'm a programmer.
Hey, we're going to get into some of these scenes in a minute. Let's take a break. Here's a piece from 2013, Computer Chess. That's what we're talking about. I'm sure you're going to hear a nerd in here somewhere. We have no idea.
We've been listening to them all.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyone in the movie.
All right, here's 2013 Computer Chess. Here you go.
Computer chest.
Computer chest?
What did I say?
Computer like chest.
Chess.
No, that's the
last
scene.
I think you're about the last scene, yeah.
Hi. Peter, your strange ideas from last night, they really got to me. This morning I woke up and everything was weird. I walked out into the lobby of a conference and I looked down and everybody looked like they were chess pieces. I saw Professor Chaucer was standing there and he was the king. And Henderson was zigzagging, going diagonals like a bishop. And there was a student who was stepping forward just like a pawn. And just as he was about to hit Professor Chaucer, his wife swooped in to defend him just like a queen. And I kept thinking that a knight was going to teleport.
Did you see any teleportation?
No.
Did you see anything where, like, if two bodies would come together, one of them would disappear?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks. Good night.
Good night.
All right, there it is, a piece from 2013, Computer Chess, queued up by Max Gumbo Johnson.
Gumby Bear.
I tried to bait you in with it. You took the bait.
I do that all the time.
Bear.
You're just like a girl at a
forget
bar.
Forget the year thing. You're going straight for the Gumby Bear.
Yeah, forget Gumbo. He's Gumby Bear.
I'm not calling. I refuse to call you that.
You will eventually. It's okay.
I probably will before the show's over. But when we left last time, Savage was ripping into this film about all kinds of good stuff. We'll get back to you, man.
Good.
I want to go over because you have plenty to say.
Yeah, move back to me.
You like know, the quicker I move, the quicker I get to you, right? Kind of like a chess piece.
Diagonal. Knight thing around.
All right.
Go ahead.
He's obviously the queen of the group.
Right. It kind of seems that way, doesn't it? Moving my pawn up to Max. Just talk to me about this film. Talk to me about a scene that you might want to discuss.
A scene?
A scene. Yeah. Talk to me about here's film.
Here's the one scene. Well, it's one of the several scenes. But the one scene that gave me probably my best idea of what this movie might be about was when Michael, M-I-C-H-A-E-L, Papa George.
P-A-P. P-A-G-E-O-R-G.
P-A-P-A-G-E-O-R-G.
Check again.
Went to his mother's house to look for that box.
Yeah. What in the hell? I loved it,
and
though.
And all of a sudden,
kind of loop.
Goes to color.
Yeah.
Goes to sepitone kind of thing.
Lost me right
the
there.
The sound
lost me right
is completely
there.
Out of sync. And he even says, stuck in a loop. I'm stuck in a loop.
Stuck in a loop. Stuck
walking
in a loop.
Around, yep. Looking in that same spot over and over and over for that box.
Didn't they, he had some pills? So
no,
maybe
he took stole some pills.
He was looking for some
yeah,
money.
So they may have taken the pills, money. And that may have been...
No.
It was not a hallucinatory dream.
He took the pills. He was trying to find money that he knew wasn't there.
And it was a stylized thing. Yeah. I'm with you.
Yeah, so he's wandering around his mother's house, literally stuck in a loop, and he had his friend with him, his Native American friend.
He had the guy that he owed the money to.
He had the guy he owed the money to.
And it just went into, like, once again, like you were in a wormhole that went off into another nerd wormhole, and instantly you're in another weird place coming from an even more bizarre weird place.
And that's the reason I say that scene... really stuck out for me. To me, from and this is just my theory, my idea, sort of encompassed what I think the theme of the movie was this, the whole thing, the idea behind the computer chess.
Yeah.
Like the guy says, no, I don't really want to be a chess master. I think at one point he said, I don't even know how to play chess.
Yep.
No.
I think he did. He said all he knows is the moves.
Who are you talking about, Peter?
Yeah, I think Peter.
All right, so Peter, when he asked the MIT chick to move, she made a simple move. He's like, think about it a little bit more.
Yeah.
Obviously, he
okay,
knew how
well,
to play.
Okay.
Boom! Kapow!
But when he was with the swingers couple, when he was with the swingers couple, and he said, so you want to do this? No, I just want to write a program.
No.
But anyway, the point is, I think one of the themes of the movie, one of the central themes of the movie, is that, you know, this whole thing, they're trying to make a computer that can beat a human at chess, and everybody's sort of going around in a circle. They're stuck in this loop, going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth over the same territory, the same ground. I think some of them start to question, what is the point of this?
Well,
yeah.
Let me interject real quick, because I kind of picked up on that, and the point you're making I picked up on, but I picked up on when he was doing the experiment with the girl, the MIT girl in the room, that the computers were facing themselves, because these were just computers playing themselves. They weren't playing humans.
In a loop.
Mm-hmm.
And then once the one started playing the human, then it changed. It started changing. And I think if the theme of the AI, if there is an AI theme in this movie, it picked up there. And I think that's where the swingers came in, is like to bring that humanist element into the analog.
So not just the human aspect of that. They brought a primitive side of the
primal.
Humanism.
Primal.
Thank you. All right. Yeah. Very primal. We're talking so primal that it's a rebirth of yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. They actually did rebirth exercises.
Yeah. I mean, listen.
And Papa George.
This film had all kinds of ideas and things it wanted to get across to you. It was about rebirth. It was about the dangers of technology and where it may take us. It was about the dangers of technology in our relationships. Remember, the one guy says, I think the biggest thing with computers is going to be about dating.
And he was
right. It's going to be all about dating. Computers,
and that's the camera
and
porn.
Guy. Computers are going to decide porn, and it's going to decide who we date and who we love. And so the film had a message, and sometimes it was subtle, but a lot of times it was extremely obvious. But there's no doubt that's what this guy, Bujowski, had something in mind there.
The whole movie is juxtaposing... I say that word way too much.
I like that. It's a quality word.
Technology and humanity.
Right.
And
right.
In the last scene, it puts them together to show you that that's exactly what it's talking about. And I think another part that very clearly illustrates what the theme is of the movie is Peter, who's very human, but he works like a machine. The boy doesn't drink coffee.
Right.
He doesn't sleep. He's been up for two nights doing this. He is a machine.
Would you say he's the protagonist in this film?
Absolutely, yeah. He's the guy that I want to figure out what's happening to. Yeah. He's the guy that actually says this machine is thinking for itself. This is an intelligent being.
Yeah, that scene right there. Explain to me exactly what happened with him. We'll go back. I think you talked about this. He drags his computer into the MIT girl's bedroom, hotel room, right?
Takes it to her room.
And was he trying to see if this machine was becoming real? Because in his mind, he was thinking this thing's coming alive.
I don't think before
the experiment, I think he was just saying, I need to try something different. This thing's been playing computers the whole time. Let's do something different. Mm-hmm. And that's where the change kind of comes in. And that's, again, going with the theme that the humanity is eventually going to just blur into the technology that it's created.
Hey, we talk about this Papa John guy.
Papa George.
Papa George.
P-A-P-A-G-E-O-R-G-E.
I'm hungry. I want some pizza, Papa John's. Papa George. He was the protagonist, but he was also a main character in this film.
He was
thought he might end up being a robot at the end.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I thought he was a program.
He wasn't. I thought I had that in my mind until he sneezed at the cat, and I'm like, a robot wouldn't
do that.
Well,
all right, so define
cat. What was this
cat.
Guy's story? Tell someone explain
define
this guy to me.
Cat.
Define cat, because that was what was in the ultrasound, so define cat.
See, the whole thing's weird.
And that's what I love so much about it.
I loved it because of that thing, too. I didn't want to figure it out. You know, in the end, I don't want to figure this thing out. I just like the sensation of it.
You're insane. I want to completely figure it out.
No, because it's on the
then
tip
watch
of your
Pride
tongue.
And Prejudice or something.
It's on the tip of your tongue. You know it's right there. I can reach out. I can touch it, but I just can't find it. I'm a blind man.
If you had to think back on a couple of scenes in this film, or maybe one you want to get into right now, what would it be?
Definitely the ending scene. Of course. Talked about that at one point.
Listen, we're going to talk about the ending. You brought that up. Thank you for that, because there is something to chew on there.
Which part of the ending?
There's like four different endings. When you say ending of what? This one, that one, or the other?
All these little threads were ended individually.
You know, I really liked Peter's character in there. I thought there was like a bit of a hero element here. He's wandering around here.
He's the only one that seems to get it.
He kind of gets something that he's getting ready. We as a humanity are getting ready to go into an abyss of some sort. And he has fear there. You kind of sense that he's afraid of something he can't put his finger on.
Yeah,
and
civilization.
I don't know about civilization. Yeah.
That's a good thread, because then you have, say, like the wizard characters, to go back to Robert McKee and Joseph Campbell, who you would say would be the hippie guy.
Yeah.
Right? That is the primitive man that's saying, you don't get it. You don't get all that there is. Right. So you have this guy, you know, saying, you're a smart guy, you get what's going on, but you don't really understand what's about to happen in the next 30 years. You don't understand. Right. Even though they don't themselves understand, that's still... God, I know exactly
where you're going. That's why I liked his character. I thought he was a bit of a Paul Revere in a way. He's there, and a part of him wanted to just say, wait a minute, hold on. We're going someplace that is not safe. He had a fear about him and kind of an intuition about him, about where all this technology he has in front of him may lead us. And he felt like it wasn't a good place. I mean, there was something to be said there.
Nah,
at least that's what I thought.
No,
I thought he was just observational, like a scientist. I mean, he's purely observational.
Can I bring up one?
Are we still talking about Peter?
Yeah, we're talking about Peter, man.
Okay.
Hey, can I bring up one scene? Let's talk about this, and I'll shut up about scenes. What do you think about the threesome scene? Max, go.
Start with the robe.
Here's the only thing I could think about the threesome scene. I thought it was put in there to sort of display these guys being so involved in this computerized artificial world that they had no idea how to deal with actual people. And when somebody threw the biggest curveball at them, they completely flipped out and didn't even know how to react to it.
Oh, come on.
That's the way I read that.
If you were in a room with two people you didn't know who are 20 years older than you, and they said, we're old enough to be your parents.
Yeah.
Use that.
I would be like, you are the creepiest people I've ever met
in my
life.
Which is exactly what he did.
No, yeah. He didn't. Yeah. If that was me, I'd have got up and walked. I said, you people
what did
are
he do?
Nuts.
He I'm walked out of the room.
No, he walked and sat down next to him.
And then he walked out of the room.
Yeah, after about letting him talk to him for 10 minutes.
Again, they're parental figures. They say, sit down. He says, okay, and then he takes his own way and says, this is kind of messed up.
Okay, so then you tell me what it was about.
That scene?
Yeah.
What was it like when you were in that situation?
You got to come up with something.
All I know is when it happened to me, I totally did it, and I've regretted it ever since.
Well, look, you know, I think if the female in that situation didn't look like she could have her toes curled under gathering sticks and berries out in your front yard, she looked like a ground sloth.
I did not see that scene coming.
Yeah, I didn't see that scene coming either.
I saw it coming.
Did you really?
Yeah. I kind of thought of something about that.
So you stuck around then, right?
So you know,
that's the only thing that kept me intrigued.
You know, I'm looking at that too. You have this hotel where you have these computer nerds doing their thing, and you have these real hippie people doing their thing. They're very earthy and grounded and removed from technology. The other ones, you know, are full force into it. Did you like the hippie element of this? Did you what
loved
were these?
Loved
there was
it.
Some condescension though on both ways. It was like they kind of looked down on him. It's like, oh, yeah. you just need to be free. You need to experience what we
all
got.
Hippies are like that all
yeah,
the time.
But you know, the flip side, you know, the nerds can be that the same condescending way is like, oh, you just don't understand what's going on this way. But I really felt it like that, and it almost seemed like kind of abuse. It's like, oh, here's an easy pick for this guy.
But what were they trying to say, Savage, when the one nerd wandered into the convention hall area where the hippies were, and they kind of suck him into their little clan?
Papa George,
and they make him go through
the P A G E O R G E.
That's right.
Papa George wasn't a nerd.
He was a total nerd.
He was a scam artist.
He was
the coolest of the nerds.
He was a freak.
He was an opportunist.
He was a freak
for sure.
But what did you think about the birthing scene? What was that about when they lay down on the ground?
Never
like
done
a,
that.
Not this week. What are you doing later?
I haven't done it outside of a hot tent.
I don't know what the hell it means.
It's okay, man.
They all kind of made like a little arc with their arms. They created like a human uterus, and they kind of pushed them out like they were giving birth to them. So obviously the director, writer is trying to say something with that. What is that? What is that? That was strange. We don't know, do we?
They made a comment like the next day that every single day they go through a birthing ritual. So they probably do this every day.
Okay, so why was it him?
But why? Yeah,
and obviously,
he was new there.
No, and obviously it didn't change his character at all because you had the end scene with him still trying to scam the guy. So
it didn't change him at all.
There was no rebirth of Papa George. He was always Papa George. He's the most...
I thought he was a bit of a villain in this thing.
After he was rebirthed, he says, "What is your name?" And he said, "Michael Papa George."
Michael Papa George, that's right. Did you remember? Listen, we're going to get in the ending here. We're going to wrap this thing up. We have to. Do you remember Papa George? He ran into the quote-unquote android at the end. He takes her to the room.
The prostitute.
We never know what happens
because there were so many cats in the room.
He sneezed. Right. But that whole thing was weird to me. I never understood that.
And that's what I'm saying. Define cat because there were two dozen cats in the room.
Well, first there was one.
Yeah.
No, yeah, in the elevator.
And then there were 10 in the elevator.
But he opens the door with the robot hooker, and now he's looking at cats, which we see on the ultrasound.
Yeah.
And I'm saying all this stuff ties together. I'm just not smart enough
Listen,
to get it.
Maybe that's what it was on his mind.
We're going to move on because, you know, we'll just go round and round in circles.
Yeah. We'll get caught in a Papa George
loop.
In a loop.
You guys are all good at noticing little details. Did you notice that all the clocks in the walls are disappearing during this film?
Clocks? Time is relative.
If you watch this film again,
I literally said that.
Watch the clocks, especially at the end when he's in the bar talking about the one guy who had this theory that his computer was coming alive. Mm-hmm. The clock on the wall fades away and goes away. There's another scene in there where the clock fades on the wall, goes away. Mm-hmm. What the heck is that?
In the last scene, the picture on the wall, you see the dirty outline of a picture.
Yes.
And I actually scrolled back through the movie and could never find the picture that was on the wall. I thought that would be the key to the whole thing, but it wasn't there.
There's a lot of weird stuff. I'm watching this
movie again, just letting you know.
You have to watch it. And sometimes this guy's legs would grow, and he would turn into like this big android thing.
I have no idea about that.
I don't know what
That's
you're
in
talking
the bar
about.
Watch it. It'll
when
freak you out.
Scotch.
It's creepy. The ending scene, man. I'm going to talk about... We obviously can talk about Peter ends up with this android. When she ripped her head off and there are wires and circuits in there, I flipped out. I'm like, okay, this film, you went places and you said, I'm going there whether you like it or not. I respected it. Did you find that? Like, I almost kind of cheered at that part.
Honestly, that was the most interesting part. That's why I watched it a second time.
Yeah.
Because at that point, I was like, I completely missed something. I totally missed something, which made me define a lot of things, which you can't really define cat very well.
You want to come over sometime?
In terms of this movie. Right. But I did define Czar. Which is the computer program that they were using, which is Ruler Emperor the First. Wow. So that's the first. So obviously.
It was cool to me in a lot of that regard. I think that a scene like that can
that's
either push
why it was
you.
Made.
It can push you one way or it can push you the other. I think when you see that, whoa, it either turns you off or it's like, okay, man, you pulled me in.
First off, I didn't go, whoa. I went, huh?
Huh?
Chess.
Chess, whatever. Guys, we're gonna have to end that there. We're going to get into our top
three. I do
want to
say.
Go real quick.
Henderson lost the chess match. He lost it straight up.
Did he?
Yeah, he smacked the table to just end it because he was losing. That's all I want to say. And that's humanity giving it to him.
That's the 2013 film Computer Chess. I thought it was cool. I think this is the kind of film you're going to have to be in the mood for. It will sneak up on you if you're not prepared. A lot of ambition in this project, though. Right?
Yeah. Oh, it's definitely ambitious.
It's worth a second and third viewing.
All right, man, that's it. 2013 film from Andrew Bujalski. Good work, in my opinion, but, you know, I'm alone in that. I guess I'm at the high end of the totem pole.
You're Computer not alone. Chess. That gave it a 7.
Yeah, 7. Yeah. That's high end. That's high end.
And I went to a 5.
And I'm glad that I'm not alone. Thank you, Michael.
Like that? Yeah.
Thank you. I really thought that I was going to be defending this for.
You had your dukes up, didn't you?
I really did. When I heard 4-4-4, I was like, oh, man, it's on.
All right, guys, this inspired our top three nerds in film. Without referencing Revenge of the Nerds. Max Gumbo Johnson, lead us off.
He can't do it. Gumby Bear can't do it.
Can't do it. What do you mean I can't do it? All right, number three, Milton from Office Space.
That's my number one.
And all my nerds had to really make their mark on the world, and Milton blew up the building just like he said he would.
Milton took it to town, man. He got
to set that place on fire.
He got his swing line stapler.
Yeah, he just wanted to listen to his radio at a reasonable volume. That's all. And have his stapler. They stuck him in the basement. Volume.
They kept putting him in storage room B. Storage room B.
You said I could have him a stapler. Yes.
What about you? He really is a great nerd. My number three is Milton from Office Space. Right. Let's just go ahead and get that out of the way.
I really thought I was like
That's just the most breaking awesome the mold. Guy of all of us.
Adam, the Bomb Rogers. Give Max, me a nerd.
Max is probably going to hate me, but Rick Moranis from Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
It's not Rick Moranis. It's Louis Tully. Get it right?
Okay. You know what I'm saying? Louis Tully.
Yeah, gosh. I don't.
So who's the nerd here, Rick Moranis or Max?
I'm up there with Louis Tully.
The patron saint of quality outerwear. And that is Matt.
There are so many nerds that I really had a hard time with this one. I'm going to go Data from Goonies.
Data from Goonies.
All right, all right.
He's one of my favorites with the teeth and the spikes.
And the slippery shoes.
No time for love, Dr. Jones.
Didn't even
consider
that.
No, that's not even Goonies.
I know, but it's my favorite line he does.
God, that's a nerdy thing to say. James Hartsup Savage, what's your number three nerd without referencing Revenge of the Nerds?
Marty's father, Mr. McFly from Back to the Future.
Adam said that earlier, and I said that's the best one you've come up with.
That
ever.
Could easily be a quintessential nerd. That is like the template for nerds.
Yeah. I'm your density.
Biff, lay your damn hands off of her.
Get your damn hands off of her. Get it right, nerd. Jeez. Nerd.
That's the best.
I'm so stupid. I already said my number three, so it's back to Max.
Number two, Dennis Nedry from Jurassic Park, the guy that set the whole disaster in motion by stealing the embryos.
Yeah.
You talking about Newman?
Newman. Wayne Knight.
Yeah, Wait a second. Yeah. I'm going to stop you right there. He was not a nerd.
He was the super nerd. What are you talking about?
You're a nerd.
Listen, man.
You're a nerd.
He was smart. He was intelligent. He was devious, but he was not a nerd.
He wasn't
a
nerd.
He was extremely
He sat
a nerd.
At his desk eating nothing but candy and drinking
he
soda
was an
all
overeater.
Time.
Then I'm a nerd.
And then when they tried to break into the thing, he put that little cartoon.
I don't think he was a nerd.
No. Dennis Nedry is my number two. All right,
we'll
stick
with him. I'm with Max.
Is he a nerd?
He's a nerd.
Watch that film again. He was just a computer.
I think Sam Jackson is more of a nerd than him.
Yeah, I don't think this guy was a nerd. My number two, and I'm going to give a shout out to a very small, what am I going to say? A small screen time nerd, okay? This guy was only in the film for a second, but he was a nerd. That's the bug guy from Silence of the Lambs.
Bug guy.
You know what I'm talking about.
We're talking about
Terminator.
All right, first off.
The one where she brought the sample to him and he goes, oh, that's a death head moth, and wants to try to task her out.
That's exactly right. You watch
Everybody knows that's a death head moth, and we're talking about the best nerds.
You
not
watch
just
that
the
film
most
again.
Obscure nerd. That's a bad answer.
He's still bitter about me calling
Max's
Newman a non nerd.
Is better.
If you look at Silence of the Lambs, that guy was a nerd.
Look.
He was a nerd. He was a great nerd.
Nerdy. Spin it around. Nerdy. Nerdy.
You are white. Oh. You are white and nerdy, man.
Anagrammed nerdy.
Did I call him out?
Gumby Bears is the smartest person I've ever met.
Adam the Bomb Rogers. Go. Number two. What's your nerd?
I referenced these guys last week, and I'm going Bunsen from the Muppets.
Bunsen?
That's not bad.
What is Bunsen?
Bunsen Beaker.
Oh, God. Do you just watch cartoons all day?
They're Muppets.
They're Muppets. The Muppets are the best.
Oh, can we talk about? Yeah, that's a nerd. Okay, that's a nerd.
That's very much a nerd.
Matt St. Hoodie, patron saint of quality outerwear. What's your number two?
I can't remember the dude's name, but the guy that rode the lawnmower in Can't Buy Me Love.
Patrick Dempsey.
Well, that's the actor's name. Can't Buy Me Love. He bought love.
He bought love. He bought it. He bought it.
He was a nerd.
What about you, Savage?
That's it. That's all I got.
I know Max is going to hate me for this because I can't remember his name, but Richard Dreyfuss in Jaws.
No. He was social.
He's a nerd.
His name was actually Matt, wasn't it?
The way
Matt Hooper.
The way he crushed the styrofoam cup.
Listen, we're up to number ones now, aren't we?
No, yeah.
We're up to number ones. This is where it gets interesting. This is where the stakes get really high.
Do they really?
I think they do.
I have so many for number one.
I have so many high stakes.
Max Gumbo, hold the
Gumby
guacamole
bears.
Johnson.
Gumby Bear.
What's your number one nerd without referencing Revenge of the Nerds?
Greatest nerd ever. Egon Spengler, Ghostbusters.
Absolutely. That's a nerd.
Well played. That is a nerd.
And he was kind of social, though.
No, he collected spores, molds, and funguses.
And he got the girl, right?
He did get the girl, but only after she told him he was very handy and he said print was dead.
I actually think that's a great choice. That's definitely a number one.
I got slime. Great. Save me some.
Yeah, that's a quality nerd. Quality choice. I don't think that anybody can possibly disagree with my number one choice.
Oh, sir.
My number one, I think, is a powerful example of nerd, and that is Toby from American Splendor.
He was a total nerd.
If you have not seen this, you can actually go on YouTube and just Google American Splendor.
American.
Nerd. American.
That's with an M, people.
American Splendor Nerd. Have you seen this film?
I have not.
American Splendor is awesome, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about then, right?
I Toby? Don't remember him, but yeah.
How could you not remember that?
He said it over and over. You mean nerd?
No, he said nerd. All right. That's my number one. I'm a nerd. And he actually was excited because he was going to go see this new movie. He's going to drive 200 miles away to see it. That was Revenge of the Nerds. We're going to go over to James Hardsub Savage. Your number one. What is it?
The biggest nerd, J.S. Sebastian. Blade Runner.
Oh boy, look at that. Yeah. You aren't alone in that, and I'll tell you why in a minute.
He was a big nerd.
He was a big nerd. He made his own toys. Nerd. They're my friends.
They're my friends.
I make them.
What's your number one there, Hoodie?
I got so many.
Just give us a nerd.
You know what?
So
I gotta
many
go,
nerds.
I gotta stick with my roots and go Peter Parker.
Peter Parker.
All right.
I gotta stick with my roots, but I have so many others.
You're gonna go with Peter Parker, Spider-Man. What's your
battle?
It's kind of a weird stretch, but I gotta go with my favorite
blah,
story.
Blah,
blah,
kick it up.
Victor Von Frankenstein.
I have Frankenstein. What? Frankenstein's a nerd.
He got the girl.
He was socially awkward.
All right, I guess Peter Parker got the girl too.
Yeah.
I never thought of Frankenstein being a nerd.
Yeah, he was a nerd. He was a doctor, and he stayed all this time in his thing creating something.
You're not talking about Frankenstein, right?
Not Frankenstein. Okay, right. The name is Frankenstein.
But Frankenstein got Terry Garr. Not bad.
So that's it. There's our number ones, right?
Yeah. You're going to do shout-out?
I'm going to do shout-outs. Honorable mentions from Matt St. Hoodie. What do you got?
McLovin.
Yeah.
You got to say McLovin. Absolutely. Napoleon Dynamite is basically... Papa George, all grown up, gone back in time.
God, it was, wasn't it? That is literally Napoleon Dynamite. Max, give me some honorable mentions.
I'm going back to Napoleon Dynamite because not everybody forgets Kip.
I like technology.
He was awesome. David Lightman from War Games.
Yeah.
What about Wesley Crusher?
Wesley Crusher, he was a super nerd. Speaking of Star Trek, Mr. Spock. What a nerd.
Yeah. I default on Spock because in his planet, everybody was like that.
No,
he was not an outcast. He was normal.
He was a rock star.
He was an outcast because he was half human, half
he was a muggle.
Vulcan.
Which makes him
a nerd.
Do you have any idea how nerdy this conversation is right
now?
Shut
up.
Savage, give me a girl nerd, man. What is it? Name
the skinny girl that does the thing that time.
Girl nerd.
How about the nerd girl from Real Genius?
I'm drawing a blank on girl nerds, man.
I can picture her, but I don't know her. She's skinny. She's cute.
Because girl nerds are kind of hot.
Yeah, in a way they are.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but they're still nerds. What about what's her face? The Drew Barrymore movie. Where she was a journalist.
Firestarter.
No, never been kissed.
How about Romy and Michelle's high school reunion?
They're not nerds.
What are you kidding me?
They were the popular girls in school.
How about the girl? How about Joan Cusack from 16 Candles?
Carrie.
I love Joan Cusack.
She's a nerd. She's always a nerd. Come on.
That's probably why I love her.
Hey, I went out to Twitter, man. This thing kind of blew up on me. I put this out on Twitter. Name some nerds that were not in Revenge of the Nerds. You want to hear some of these?
Sure. Maybe, I do.
You'll be surprised some of the answers, and I think you'll be in a line
with some of these. Stuff that we didn't?
They have plenty that
we
you
already
did not
didn't
get.
Say.
Gordon Don, at Gordon Don.
Says.
That's Gordon a, Don.
That
at
is
Gordon
the most Don. Nerdy name I've ever heard.
I know. I'm sure you're a nerd, Gordon, but believe me, it's fine. Don says Eugene from Greece.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. Remember the kick me sign guy?
I've never seen that.
Ducky from Pretty in Pink. Cool. Check this out. Azel Abedi at Azel Abedi says, the new Q from Skyfall played by Ben Whishaw.
Yep.
Yeah, but Q is a nerd.
Yeah.
What is that? What is a Q?
The guy that makes his gadgets.
Q.
The quartermaster.
All right, listen, you know this about me. I'm not a big.
You're not much of a nerd.
He has his own film cast.
Skyfall is awesome.
Okay, so that's what he's talking about when he says the Q.
He's talking about Q.
I thought he was making fun of us.
We also got Corey Haim, Lucas. Remember him?
I do.
Yep.
We got Gummo.
Oh, Frog Brothers.
Gummo. I thought that was going
to
be your.
I couldn't do it. There were so many not said.
Hey, check these out, man. Kelly O'Neill at Kelly Uane says, what about Jesse Eisenberg and the Social Network? HOM Movie Podcast says Kevin Smith is Warlock and Die Hard 4.
Screw Kevin Smith. We're not even
every bit of him.
Anthony Michael Hall and Weird Science. Jeff Goldblum and Independence Day. James Spader and Stargate. Egon and Ghostbusters. Rick Moranis and Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Sebastian and Blade Runner.
That's right.
And Bruce Banner.
Yeah, he's a nerd.
Ooh, yeah.
David
nerd.
Bond.
Pretty much any Marvel or any superhero.
You're going to like
technically, Bruce Wayne is a nerd.
No, wait a
Richard
second.
Richard Reed.
Yeah.
Joe Williams at Joe Girly Joe says, Sherman in American Pie, Rupert Grint in Thunderpants.
That's right.
Thunderpants.
You ever heard of Thunderpants?
Nope.
When did they make a movie about me? Anthony Michael Hall in The Breakfast Club, John Hughes, his nerds are the best, she says. You know who stepped up? Nerd Church Podcast, Sebastian in Neverending Story, entire cast of Dead Poets Society, Rick Moranis in Ghostbusters, Will Wheaton in Stand By Me, but here's something I'll throw it to you.
Will Wheaton.
The Stinking Paw says, how about Clark Kent, which was quickly shot down by HOM Movie Podcast because he was only pretending to be a nerd.
That's right. I agree with What's-His-Face has said that.
He says, that's not a nerd. He was only pretending to be a nerd.
But Sebastian is amazing. That is so good. He literally stole a book, skipped class, and hid to read a book.
That's fantastic. All right, guys, so there it is.
That he
is
already knew it was never ending.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. That is it, man. So if you want to watch Computer Chess 2013, it is on Netflix, instant streaming. But give it a shot. There it is. Maybe you'll agree or maybe you'll disagree. Either way, let us know. QFilmcast.net. Stop on by. Next week, we're going to queue up another film, and that brings us to Matt St. Hoodie. What is next week's show? You don't even know, do you? You have to think about it, don't you?
It's up between three. I'm going to game time it. I think we need a foreign film, so I'm going to go Casa de Mi Padre.
Casa de Mi Padre. All right. A little bit of humor in there.
Well, it's not that funny. You got to read in. You got to read between the lines.
I've been wanting to see
there's
this.
There's a lot there. It is a deep, deep. I mean, you think Computer Chess is bad?
Yeah. Woo. That means House of My Father for those that you right. do not hable español.
We're talking about the Will Ferrell film, right?
Yeah.
Casa de Cadre.
The foreign Will
Did
Ferrell
I just
film.
Say
Casa de my cadre.
My padre.
No, he said cadre.
I said padre.
I said Casa killed my padre.
Casa Cadre.
Right.
That's next week, man. That is that's the film being queued up by Matt St. Hoodie, the patron saint of quality.
I feel really good about that.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
1 week from now, here we'll be. So that's it, man. On to the next one. As always, thank you for listening to The Queue. We'll see you next week when we queue up the film
Casa de Mi Padre.
Casa killed my padre.
Casa.
Yeah, we'll see you next week, guys. Thanks a lot.
I don't speak Spanish.
Later.
Daisy, Daisy, give me your answer. I'm half crazy, all for the love of you. It won't be a stylish marriage. I can't afford a carriage, but you look sweet upon the seat of a bicycle built for two.
I consider myself a nerd, and this movie has uplifted me.